All right, you hear the dulcet tones of Chris Cross, and you know that it is time for SalesportTalk.com, our segment we do Tuesdays at 9:40 Pacific time. And as always, co-hosting is Karen Lyle, who's in studio with me. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Rick. It's so good to be here in person and where I can rib you a little bit better, you know?
There you go. And if you're wondering why the Twitch.tv camera, we only have one, is not on Karen, it's because we have another guest. We're quite happy to have Tom Herbert Evans. He is the head of community engagement with SailGP. Tom, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about the long name. Hopefully you nailed it. But yeah, it's a Welsh name. But
so you're going to need to get really close to that microphone, apparently.
Cool.
We still can't hear him. Say something again, Tom.
Hey, how's it going? Still here.
All right, you're going to have to switch places with Karen, I guess. Wait, sorry. Actually, try this microphone and see if that one works.
Well, Rick, while
live radio.
While we're waiting for Tom to be able to spark a little bit on that microphone.
Can we hear you
How's
now?
That?
There you go. And then pull that a little bit closer there, because I know you can't hear yourself without a headset. You come from Wales, and this is back-to-back segments. We just had Greg Davis of Wales. I'm also of Welsh blood. Are you Cardiff, Swansea, Clandudno? What are you?
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. I'm from the middle of the grounds there, Swansea. So little fishing village called Mumbles, and I happen to speak Welsh. Not of any use over here, but yeah, loving it.
Ben Davis of Spurs originally was with the Swans. Do you remember?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Big football town.
Yes. All right, Karen, go ahead.
You know, Tom, it's been a little while since we've seen each other. I think it was 2019, and we were out on the media boat here in San Francisco, the only time that SailGP had a media boat. And so now all of these things have happened, and we're in our fourth season for SailGP. And we're on fifth. We finished our fourth season, and we just finished New Zealand. And Tom Slingsby, of course, took that win, and he was here in our studio, as you saw. Tell us a little bit about the season coming up for SailGP.
Yeah, look, it's super exciting. I mean, for those of you listening, this is not conventional sailing. We're trying to make sure that we've got sailing is something like watching Oracle Park or going to watch Tottenham play. I hate to say Tottenham, but, you know, Tottenham play in the big stadium. And we're trying to bring sailing to the Premier League, to the Division Ones of sport. Now, how do we do that? SailGP is growing up. You know, 2019 was a very different period of time for us, and we didn't really know what we were doing. We had six teams. Now we've got 12. And if you can imagine, it's a bit like, you know, going to the grandstand. You orientate the boats in front of the people in the race stadium. Conventional sailing is watching boats go over the horizon and you wave them goodbye. This is totally different.
So I did go to SailGP when it was in San Francisco with Patty Mangan, who's in studio with us as well, and we sat in the press area. And the thing that I was very impressed with was the television coverage, because you'll see a boat go by, and I'm a neophyte for sure, and I'm like, oh, that guy's winning. And it's like, no, that guy's in last place. So they explained, first of all, what is the goal? I remember I had a relative come over from Germany and took him to a baseball game, and he's like, what's the goal? And I'm like, oh, you have to start from the very, very fundamental basics. And I thought you guys did a great job of explaining it. The one thing I've always said to Karen and Patty over the years is there's this stereotype of sailing is just for the ultra rich, and Joe Blow will never be able to do it. And I know you guys are trying to change that whole adage, right?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. So the format is, it's a Le Mans start. So you've got all these 12 teams lining up. They run around a race course. Now, sailing's very complicated because you use the wind to your advantage. Now, you zigzag typically. So us sitting on the shore, it's very hard to understand, is that boat winning or is that boat last? So SailGP's got a live line technology, basically an overlay technology, which you can put on a live broadcast, which is, we're leading that from a sports perspective. Even Formula One has fixed graphics. We can do this on a live moving race course. Now, my mum back in Wales, she's watching SailGP, and she now finally understands what I do, because she can understand who's leading, who's coming last. So it's really about bringing sport to the masses. And, you know, my friend just texted me from some sports bar in Ottawa, and all of the bar were going crazy about the crashes and capsizes and could understand sailing for the first time. So he took a picture of them, and he couldn't believe that they had the football on one screen and then sailing on the other. So things are starting to move, and if we can keep this momentum from when I saw you last, Karen, in 2019. Who knows where we're going to be in 5 years?
That's true. And Tom, why don't you tell us all the teams that you have now? Because each one is a nation state, representing a nation state, and those teams are owned by individuals. And I think you've sold almost all of the teams.
Yeah, no, you're right. So we started off with 6 boats and we had no owners, and we kind of selected the countries that we want to represent it in SailGP. So kind of have a livery from around the world. We've got teams from Italy now and Brazil who've just joined us. Then we've got the teams who have been longstanding, which are Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, USA, of course. And we're up to 12 international teams. Now, there is a nationality rule, a bit like in any sport, but we've reduced that recently, now controversially, to allow the up-and-coming teams to have a chance to maybe poach the best player, a bit like the transfer window of a normal sporting season. So that's been quite exciting to watch. And there's been some poaching of some of the top team members. Now, those of you listening, we've got one position in the boat which flies the boat, a bit like a pilot, really. So the boat's flying above the water to get rid of all of that drag. And I know recently the Brazil team poached the top New Zealand flight controller. So they've been doing really, really well. And they've also got the first woman driver. So who knows what's going to happen this season, but it's really cool to see what's going on at the moment.
Tom Herbert Evans from SailGP is with us. I remember when I was there with Patty, and to me the most dramatic moment was the boat, and these are so sleek, you're right, they're like F1 cars. The one that was leading, and it was basically just going to cruise to the finish, all of a sudden, dead in the water. There's just no wind. But then other boats had wind. It was the most weird thing. And then to start from a dead stop, and they ended up winning. But that moment when they died, I just remember that the international press was with us, and Spanish, Italians, Germans, they all went, oh my gosh, that was like the most thrilling moment. But then it reminds you, this is all wind.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The boats, you know, all of us think of a sailboat can just be pushed by the wind, right? So if it's 10 miles an hour of wind, you can only do 10 miles an hour. These boats can do 4 times the wind speed. So, you know, imagine a day on San Francisco Bay. We actually hit 102 kilometers an hour.
Wow.
In testing. So 64 miles an hour, 55 knots, something like that. My math's off there. But these boats are going so, so fast right now. And you're right. If you fall off the hydrofoils, these kind of like a carbon fiber surfboard sticks in the water. If you fall off those hydrofoils, you are dead in the water. You know, that water is like, it's like pea soup. You want to avoid it. It's super draggy. So the boats flying high, but not too high, are the ones that are going to win. And you're looking for that 100% fly time around the race course. Kind of like boat meets air, you know, type thing.
I think it's funny, though, because normally when you have dual hulls, you think, oh, I'm really cooking. But if you go down to the dual hulls in SailGP, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, no, you're right. Oh, why did I have that extra hull with me? But yeah, it's amazing. I think the other thing that I encountered, one of the sailors, I was asking, like, what is it like being on board the boat at those speeds? And they said, it's a bit like standing on top of a car on the freeway. Somebody chucking a bucket load of cold ice water at your face. And then you have to speak to your friends at the same time and then turn a corner. So quite unusual. And kind of like on a windy day, like riding a bull, you know, a bucking bronco. It's wow. It's a wild animal to tame.
Well, and you recently changed the foils, because the foils, which for our listeners are basically sticks that the boat rests upon when the hull comes out of the water, used to be made out of carbon fiber, and now you've put titanium core, and even have a propulsion system in prototype. Can you tell us a little bit about how that changed the speed?
Yeah, so obviously the boat's all made of carbon fiber. The foils are carbon fiber. And the boats go so fast, it's kind of like hitting the sound barrier, but underwater. Now, the sound barrier in water, because it's so dense, isn't very, very high. So at about 47 knots, you know, 87 kilometers an hour, the water starts kind of vaporizing. It starts boiling on the foils.
That's your cavitation.
The cavitation. Mm-hmm. And we see that through a GoPro looking at the foil, and it just has this white blob emerging on it. We're like, what is that? What's going on? There's some kind of science going on under the water. So what they've done now is they've taken a block of titanium and they've milled it down into a new hydrofoil. Kind of looks like a samurai sword. And that's about 15% thinner. And that enables us to hit that top speed. So, you know, 102 kilometers an hour is pretty quick on the water. And the far, you know, it's kind of like having the boat. You only compress the accelerator. There are no brakes. So you can only sail it with your foot flat to the floor.
Well, the brake would be when you go in the water.
That would be the brake. And sometimes you voluntarily choose that, I think. So
were you just racing in New Zealand, right?
Yeah, I think we had the biggest ever stadium sailing event in the history of the sport in New Zealand.
Wow.
If you guys have a chance and look at some of the pictures, I mean, it does look like a sports match on water. And we've got these robotic marks. So we now orientate the racing marks to make sure they're right in front of the grandstand.
Mm.
So have a check of what just happened. And 12 teams racing. It was very windy on the race day two. One of the boats hit one of those marks. One of the boats nearly capsized. The crowd was going wild.
That was the Danish boat, right?
The Danish boat, yeah. And I'm sad to say, for all the New Zealand supporters, Australia won in the New Zealand event.
Right, so, right. It's bittersweet.
It didn't
sure.
go. A bit of a lead balloon moment there, I think. But yeah. But anyway, you know, fair play to the Australian team. They've been on fire at the moment.
But then the New Zealanders are going to be in Sydney. And so maybe they could win the Sydney one and even it out. That'd be possible. I don't know if they'd ever be able to do that. But
you've planted the story there now. I think that would be good to level peg them in Australia.
But I'm sure that's going to be the goal.
Yeah. And it's all about getting in that top three teams and qualifying, getting into that final race. And whoever wins that final race in the event wins the event itself.
Just have time for last question. As Karen was mentioned, heading to Sydney here on the 7th and the 8th of February. During that downtime, how much practicing, how much innovation is going on, or is it mostly just rest and read a book at the hotel? Like, how much of it is that?
Great point. It's all about not having an unfair advantage. So all of the teams have equal training time. They get released off the moorings at exactly the same time.
Oh, wow.
All of the boats are identical. So now we have an assembly team of 100 technical staff that put all the boats together. The teams can't touch their own boats. Hmm. So that means that the best team will win, not the team with the best boat or the best feat of engineering. We can also change the wing, making the sail surface area smaller or bigger, depending on the conditions. But SailGP has to choose that, not the teams. So we're kind of orientating who is the best team in sailing, not the team with the best boat.
Very good. Once again, Tom Herbert Evans from SailGP Community Engagement Head. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Great to have you, Tom. And we're going to be seeing each other in London next week. So.
All right. That's very posh. I wish I was going. Suited and
you're
booted.
Welcome. You're welcome to come.
Much more at salesporttalk.com. Once again, salesporttalk.com. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.